Sometimes I will. Oh my gosh, I gotta say it.
Say it, Maya,
Because
say it.
sometimes I would like walk or run by her and fart and walk and run off. Kind of like when I pulled her hair and like just kept walking. That's what I would do, like with a fart moment.
Sorry to Morphine that you had to experience that, but thank you to Maya for doing it.
EW podcast is right.
Fierce, fierce, fierce.
I love this podcast.
Fierce, fierce. Weather, fierce. Food, fierce. This weather.
Hello, I'm Joey Nolfi, Entertainment Weekly's RuPaul's Drag Race reporter, coming to you live from an alternate time and, quite frankly, space, as we have harnessed the power of interdimensional and intertime travel and officially transported back in time to DragCon in the 1980s in honor of our dearly departed podcast patron saint, Maya Iman LePage, claiming that she got her idea for this week's runway by Googling DragCon 1980s.
I'm Jillian Cedarholm and bitch. Oh, wait. Podcast host flopping. I'm Jillian Cedarholm, EW's news director. Did you know after every RuPaul's Drag Race episode, seven podcast hosts are born?
You saying bitch on this podcast is my new favorite thing. We have to insert that now at the beginning. Atop our other new addition, which everybody heard at the top of this episode, we have Ms. Maya Iman LePage saying that EW podcast is great.
Oh my God, we do. I haven't heard it yet.
Yes, we do. We have it. So we will. Yes, that is our new addition. We now have, I think we are the most iconic podcast intro in the history of Drag Race podcast, because we not only have an original song by Bianca Del Rio,
yes,
we have commentary by Jessica Wilde,
yes,
and now commentary by Maya Iman, quotes, Myra LePage. So
yes,
thank you to that, Maya. But Jillian, I do have to ask you, as we float through time and space and alternate dimensions here, as someone from a different demographic, how do you feel about being back in the 80s? Like, what's your favorite part of this era?
Oh, you're so shady. But as Safira says in this episode, these girls don't even know what the 80s are. I, at least, was born in the 80s. And I think that about sums up my experience on this podcast. I was only a child throughout the 80s, but I think it was a pretty great and very colorful decade to be a kid in, even though we really
a
only
kitten.
Had a kitten. Yeah, I was a kitten. And then I was
you were a kitten?
Reborn into
Why does
a human.
That mean?
A kid
what is
in
that?
A kid, a child.
I
a preschool
you said it was a
and
pretty good
early
decade
elementary
to be a
school
kitten.
Age person. And a kitten. Yes, I was. This is my big reveal.
It's a great decade to be a kitten. The 80s, a great decade to be a kitten.
Yes.
Oh, I was gonna I love that, Jillian. Thank you. Yeah, kitten healed.
Sadly, we only had one famous drag queen back then, though. So let's talk about the era that we have hundreds now.
Well, Jillian, I did have to. I'm so glad that you know you joined me and met me on my level here of kicking off this episode with something fun and jovial to contrast us both being in extreme mourning over the passing / elimination of our beloved Maya, otherwise known as Myra to some on this podcast. It all started very sour this episode as the queens re-entered the workroom and Dawn and Plain Jane, the two evils of the season, clashed over their mutual distaste for each other's looks and the fact that Plain, who seems to be somewhat owning her delusion throughout this episode, doesn't think that she was in the bottom, despite the other queens telling her that she was, which I will also note here that, like, I will call out if Plain, I think, did a so-so job. But, like, we discussed on this podcast last week that we thought her lyrics were actually pretty clever. So, like, I don't know if she would have been in the bottom two for that. Like, I actually do think it probably would have been. Well, who do we think? I don't think Plain would have been in the bottom two.
I think it would have been Q. She was the only
yeah.
one that I really remember getting negative critiques.
Right. I think it would have been her and maybe Dawn.
I think, yeah, I think probably Dawn.
Yeah. So, as Plain said in our interview with her last week, that she was being strategic and saving Nymphia with her immunity potion, and she was trying to knock the bottom queen out of the mix. And then she clarified on this episode, or she further elaborated that it was specifically to try to get Dawn and Q to be on the bottom, because if she saved Nymphia, that means two of the seamstresses would have been kicked out of the competition. So it was strategy. Maya then, in typical fashion, says something under her breath the next day to Nymphia. She says, "You're next." And then the world's quietest battle ever ensues between them in the corner of the table, which was so funny. RuPaul then introduces this week's mini challenge. It's the recurring game Spill the Tea, where they have to vote for superlatives with little paddles that have each queen's face on them. And some of the categories are most passive aggressive, which is won by Nymphia, flirtiest, which is won by Saphira, most likely to blame the edit, which the queens voted Morphine, and most delusional, they voted for Plain Jane. And now this next category, this is just because I feel like this is where my strengths as a Drag Race journalist really lie, because I don't know if anybody else covering the show would have thought to ask this question to Maya in our interview coming up. But in the gassiest portion, the queens almost unanimously voted for Morphine as the gassiest. However, Morphine held up our dear Maya's face on her paddle. So in this interview coming up, I decided to ask Maya why Morphine would think that about her. And Maya, Maya has zero filter. Maya, you can tell she just immediately started answering. She's like, "I can't believe I'm going to say this. I can't believe I'm answering this." And then she said this. She used to do run by fartings to Morphine in the workroom. So she was like, "I used to just like scooch past her and like fart and then keep going." Specifically to Morphine. And I was just like, "Maya," I was like, "you know, that's a headline moment right there." And she was like, "Yeah, I can't believe I said it," but it's so funny.
Now, you only have a set amount of time with these queens for your exit interviews. And we have like a whole bunch of discussion topics. You go through and send me a list of all your questions. I go through and say if I have any additions. And then we have to go like cut like half of the questions, because we always just have 5 million questions for these queens. And now this is the kind of question that I'd be like, "Joey, you know, you only have a couple of questions. You don't have that much time. You cannot ask Maya about farting." And now this is a question though that I'm so glad that you made sure to ask, because this is the kind of gold that you end up getting.
It's a big gamble, I think, with questions like this, because sometimes we do ask questions like this to queens, and then the answer is usually like sometimes it's a flop because like what we're hoping happened like it doesn't actually happen. So like we do sometimes ask questions like this, and it ends up not leading to an answer. But this is thankfully one time that one of our stupid questions did lead to a really great answer, and which is now our headline of this exit interview that you can read on EW.com right now. Which she also talks a lot about this crazy lip sync, which Jillian and I will get into as a matter of life and death later in this podcast. And now Jillian is highlighting in our shared doc. Jillian is trying to set me up with a gag. It says, "Reveal if you can do an armpit fart." And unfortunately, Jillian Closet, if I had seen this before this podcast episode, I would have waited to apply my deodorant. I am currently almost about to embark for the airport, and I have freshly slathered deodorant on my arm, which makes it impossible for me to put my hand on my armpit and do an armpit fart, because I don't want my hand to be all greasy.
So you are revealing that you can do an armpit fart, and it sounds like you do it all the time. And know
I absolutely am revealing that I can do an armpit fart, and I would do it, but I don't. I would not be able to get through the rest of this podcast because my hand would be greasy.
And so you could not wash your hand for the rest of the day until you leave for the airport.
Well, I am currently sitting on the floor of my living room with copious amounts of electrical equipment famously required to record a podcast. So I don't want to sit here with my arm up like this for the rest of the podcast.
All right. Well,
Jillian, would you like to demonstrate? Jillian, can you pick it up?
I have no idea. And I've been baffled by this since my childhood in the 80s of seeing all these little kids doing this all the time. I feel like every like kid in my class always had their hand in their shirt doing something. And I never understood
Jillian,
what they were doing under their shirt.
Of the way there. You were just 75% of the way there.
I don't know what to do when you're there.
Do it.
What is the shape of your hand
like
doing?
You cup it. Let me see. Is my arm? Yeah, it's too. Okay. It's too greasy. I can't.
Put your hand in your bare armpit and cup it.
I'm gonna try it. Hold on. I'm gonna try it. Just because.
I'm clapping. Nothing's happening.
The things I do for this fucking podcast. I'm gonna have to pause and actually wash my hand after this. So okay, wait. Here we go.
I don't understand how it happened. You were wearing a tank top, so I actually got to see a full demonstration of what was happening, and yeah. I still don't understand, and I still can't do it. All right, well, okay. I'm going to be practicing that at home for the rest of the day.
Literally crying. Oh my God. What a moment. And I also know our producer, our glorious, lovely producer, Sammy, is currently laughing very hard behind the scenes. So also big round of applause for Sammy and everything that Sammy gets done for this podcast. I mean, what a treasure Sammy is.
Every time you hear us not saying something stupid, imagine all the stupid shit we were saying and how bad it sounded.
And then Sammy just keeps it for their own files on their own laptop. Yes. And then just listens to them on repeat. Okay. Jillian, would you like to continue us?
Let's move on. RuPaul introduces this week's Maxi Challenge, Silly and Sickening Drag Employee Seminars, which feels like a targeted attack against a mandatory meeting's drag name. The RuPaul assigned teams for this week will see Q and Plain Jane tackling the topic, Do You Know Drag Herstory? Maya and Dawn explaining drag in the workplace, and Safira, Nymphia, and Morphine getting to the bottom of the issue, Are You a Drag Queen? You might be surprised. Maya and Dawn immediately have anxiety over this challenge because Maya's contributions to the initial concept phase include her simply saying, tell jokes, read, have fun. Three things that she later would not do at all, sadly, during her presentation.
Also, the cornerstones of how we work at EW.
Yes. Nymphia is also completely freaking out yet again, which later in Untucked, Safira refers to as mind games because she just always hits it out of the park almost every time whenever she has these breakdowns. For the walkthrough, though, we get Michelle and Joel Kim Booster, who, fun fact, used to host a Drag Race recap podcast just like this one with fan favorite Drag Race guest Judge Nicole Byer many years ago. He comes through and he offers, I think, very solid advice about both comedy writing and threesomes that everyone seems to listen to. Then, as the queens are getting ready, Q has this really emotional discussion with Plain Jane and shares that she is HIV positive. She was diagnosed just 2 years ago and has dealt with people saying really nasty things, dehumanizing her, but she's planning a runway look to celebrate the generations before her, which was all beautiful. But I did find the reaction in the room to be a little off compared to maybe how some queens have reacted to similar announcements on the show in the past, which I'm going to go ahead and blame on the edit. But there is some irony, I think, to the only person really comforting someone talking about feeling dehumanized being Plain Jane. Did you notice this at all?
Yeah, I think it was, it maybe did it. I didn't go back and rewatch, but does she only say it to Plain in that moment?
Sort of. And that's why I'm blaming the edit, because I've noticed that when you hear, like, there are times when you can hear makeup brushes like clattering really loudly or ice in a drink being very loud, much louder than it ever would be on a show. And that's when I'm like, okay, these queens, like, they're really having to isolate someone's microphone, I'm assuming, because there is a point that you can hear somebody talking in the background while Q is talking. So, and I don't think it was like someone doing that to be rude. I think that maybe this was more of a private conversation and not like a everybody stop, I'm making a big announcement kind of moment. So I think that is probably why. And then the editing like shows people kind of looking over at her. And that's what at first I was like, well, go hug her. She's having an emotional moment and sharing something really personal. Like, go support your sister. But I think that probably wasn't the case.
I mean, I imagine she eventually told everybody at some point because she ends up talking about it. Yeah, yeah. On the runway. And yeah,
so
I think that their reaction is all like judging, like seeing this group, like it would be very hard for me to believe that if she had said this to the full room for the first time, that their reaction would have been for them to just keep doing their makeup. But I do. It was really funny to me that the first thing Blaine says was, oh, you slayed that.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Maybe this is all still part of Plane's full redemption arc of humanizing her, but that's why it was so funny to me. And so I don't mean this as any shade towards the other queens at all. It was just, I wish that the editing moment had been more of like, this is Q's moment, like share a story and like us all feel like we are giving her the virtual hug through the television that she deserves. But in that case, Plain Jane was our proxy to hug her in our place. Yeah. So that was just a little funny to me.
It was a nice moment.
It was very nice. And I'm just so happy that we do get these kind of stories on this show. And I think that is what makes this show so special. And we've had, you know, a similar story to this since season one with Angina. And I think it's just the importance of Drag Race and these queens sharing their personal stories.
I fully agree.
Comical territory. I did love this moment of Saphira referring to her team as I got Tweedledee and Tweedle Banana working with me, which I thought was very funny. And then Maya's example in the walkthrough of the jokes that she tries to tell when she says that, yes, I have been on the mic before in Miami. And Michelle says, okay, what's an example of a joke that you tell? And she says, hey, it's free to come in. You can't catch the gay. And she even just delivers it in the most just like quiet,
Most Maya way. I'm sorry. Anybody else saying this, it would not be funny, but like Maya saying it is just so funny. I rewound and I watched it like three times.
Yes, it's so stupid. Also watched this a couple times, and one other thing that I picked up, there's this moment that when Nymphia is just kind of talking kind of quietly with, I think it was with Saphira, while putting on makeup. And I was looking away at first, and I was like, wait, is Megami back on the show? And I never noticed that Nymphia and Megami actually have a very similar tone of speaking when Nymphia is not going full Nymphia. And when Megami, it's kind of like the Megami that got in confessionals. And it was just really funny to me. So take a listen again, close your eyes, and see if you can spot the difference between Nymphia and Megami, which was surprising to me.
It's just kind of like the same shtick over and over. I've already proven myself in the girl group challenge, so I'm not worried about it.
Positive area where I'm super self-confident, so I am ready and excited for this challenge. But deep down, this was so tough.
We also get this reveal that at one point Dawn is getting ready and she says, tomorrow I'm going to sleep in until 5:10. And I was like, I don't remember if we've ever had this behind the scenes tea before of how early these queens are getting up on Drag Race. But I was a little gagged at that.
It's a long day,
5:10 is sleeping in.
I did not clock that. That is super early, and I famously don't like to wake up before 9 a.m. So I can only imagine.
Well, I'm glad your work start time is 8 a.m. then.
Didn't say I don't do it. I said I don't like it. Well, the performances, I think, in this challenge ranged from cringe to, I think, legitimately funny. I initially doubted how much they could really do with this challenge, but I thought that the format actually turned out to be quite fun. I thought Plain and Q did a really lovely job, as did Team Saphira, outside of Saphira's confidence cracking like just a bit in the moments where she kind of stumbled, which we'll get to a bit later. But how did you feel about this as a challenge and the results?
Yeah, I liked this as a challenge. After I saw how everyone performed, I was wishing that it had been a filmed one so that people had another take, because it struck me that they probably did not have as much time to prepare for this as I guess they needed, because it did kind of throw me that it only seemed like maybe one or two was able to go off book and really, and everybody kind of stumbled a little bit. So that just made me feel like this maybe was turned around, or yes, at least they were doing rewrites
and
late in the day.
And they did, you know, I asked Maya about this in the interview, and we got kind of an answer, like, where I think she thought that I was talking about when I asked about cue cards. I think she thought that I meant the cards in her hand, but everybody did seem to be looking off to the left and looking to cue cards.
To the left, so that's not where the judges are.
Exactly. That's what my initial thought was. Oh, there's cue cards here. But Maya, I think, thought that I was talking about the cards in her hand, and I didn't catch it in the moment. But so Maya didn't say anything about this, but it looks very clear that that they are all reading cue cards.
Well, where was the audience seated? Because we know the judges are more to the right.
In front of the judges. Yes.
Oh,
the
audience
was seated. Yes. And when I was there in 2022, yes, that's where, so you kind of walk in from the side, from the left side, like it's like front left side of the main. If you're standing on the main stage, like to the front and a little bit to the left is where you enter into the actual set. So that's where I'm assuming they had some sort of note cards was there in that area. And then the audience was all in the area in front of that, plus in front of the judges, which is a little bit like northeast of your standing on the main stage.
Okay, so, interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that at all, because I thought that they were all
doing it.
Struggling. I saw that. I mean, but they all also had the note cards in their hand and kept looking at them.
So weird. Yeah, it was very weird. But I think that was for aesthetics. For
interesting. Because Maya did throw all of hers. But then at the end, Michelle makes a comment about needing the cards. But okay, interesting, because I thought it was the opposite reason. I thought that because I remember when Safira started to flub a little bit was when she looked off. And I thought, oh, she's really trying to memorize what's on her card because she knows it's going to look bad to be reading off of a card. And
no, she was looking to the cue card. Yeah, she was looking.
But I thought it was because she was looking while trying to say something that she had quickly memorized. I mean, I've seen you do this in an interview where you have a set of cards with things you're going to say, but you know that it's going to look bad to be reading. So you quickly memorize your discussion points.
Yeah. So that was very weird.
I thought she was pulling a classic Nolfi. But the one thing I did notice was, did you catch this where Maya's shoes, like she's wearing the shoes to run in, and she's wearing them in the very first scene. Within the second full body shot of her, the shoes are fully off and they stay off. And when she leaves the stage, the shoes are still there.
Maya loves a shoe off moment.
She hates shoes because you can't really flip in heels. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. The one other thing was that under the Halloween drag on the one slide, they had a mandatory meeting, which even calls out as being shady. So hopefully Amanda takes that in good spirit. But Easter egg.
As soon as that came onto the screen, I was like, oh, I don't know how Amanda's going to take that, because given what she said in our interview. You also, I'm glad that you added a note here too about the drag queen flopping moment, because I forgot to put this in here. I wanted to talk about this too, because I didn't think like they treated this as if this was some like horrific offense that she committed. And I was just like, that it's I don't know, she did what I think the judges were telling her that she should have done, but I think she did it. Like she
addressed the moment, but I think they were saying turn it around to kind of be on them, but that's a really hard thing to think of in the moment. But I think the worst offense was actually the way she stepped on Nymphia, because when Nymphia started doing the audience interaction, which is really fun, it seemed very scripted that she was supposed to like sort of interrupt her, but instead she like fully stepped on what Nymphia was saying.
I thought that is what was gonna they were gonna say, okay, yeah, because they've made notes about that with queens in the past and challenges of stepping on other people's lines, especially in something like, was it in Snatch Game, or there was some challenge recently where somebody was like doing the most over somebody else and it became like a controversy.
Sugar and Spice's stuff, I think, was over other people, right?
There was that, but there was something where it led to somebody's elimination. I want to say it was on season 12.
Oh, that's too long ago.
Somebody was like doing Britta? where Britta was doing somebody else kept stepping lines on somebody else. Well, no.
Yeah. No, okay. We'll think of it after this. Yes. But let's get to the runway. The queens had to channel looks from 1980s with Maya giving us another absolutely hilarious reveal that she Googled DragCon 1980s and then based her look off of that. Joey, I understand you also did some field reporting and digital research on the topic. Do you care to share your results?
I absolutely did. Yes. Before our journey back in time and space to the 1980s, I did also put myself into the shoes, well, actually into the bare feet of Maya Amon LePage. And I did exactly this. I Googled all variations of this. DragCon 1980s, Drag Space Con 1980s.
Okay.
Drag and then hit the space bar.
Oh, con, I mean, there was like intergalactic drag con of the 80s. Okay. Just because I know thinking of the 80s feels like a science fiction reality that anything existed that long ago to you.
Yes. Kitten and space con. to be a kitten at drag space con. But I did all variations of this, and the only things that I could find that were even remotely close to what Maya wore on the runway was, there is a, do you remember, I think it was last year, there was like a AI craze that was going around where people would put phrases into the AI for Drag Race, and it would be like, what if Drag Race was made in the 80s? What if Drag Race was made in the 90s? What if it was made in the 60s? There is an image of the one from the 80s that comes up when you put in DragCon 80s. Kind of looks like what Maya was doing.
Yes, it's a green
bodysuit or shorts. It actually looks like a jumper because you can kind of see leg at the bottom.
Yeah, it's like is that supposed to be RuPaul but with buccal fat removal?
It's supposed to be Ru, but it also, like, the hair is blonde, but it's the same style as like the giant hair that's on Maya's head.
Her wig was great. I loved that wig.
And the color is the exact same as the color Emerald that Maya wore on the runway.
Now, do you think that Cynthia Erivo also Googled this for her Oscars gown? Because that was also pretty similar.
No, Jillian, that was famously a Wicked reference. I don't even like musical theater.
Oh, musical.
So the other thing that comes up when you Google some variation of DragCon 80s that I thought could be remotely even similar to this, it is a black and white image, but it is of RuPaul, and it incorporates the same earrings that Maya was wearing, these like giant hoopy slash like structural earrings, big hair, and flowers on the gown, which Maya said she also tried to incorporate flowers onto the shoulder. She said that she tried to remix it a little bit, and this is actually Ru in the 80s. Yeah. So this could be that as well. However, in the interview that Maya and I did, she talked about how this designer, designer she kept calling, I'm sorry, this is just, every time I talk about something that Maya does, I just lose my mind because it amuses me so much. Throughout the whole interview, Maya kept saying, there was a story about the seamstress, and she kept, whenever she would refer to designers, she would call them seamstresses, but like, you know, and we are all about not necessarily subscribing to gender norms here on this podcast, but seamstress is typically used to denote like a woman who is like sewing clothes together. And in the next breath of saying the story about the seamstress, and she was like, he had like five looks of mine. She just kept referring to designers as seamstresses throughout the rest of this. But she said the seamstress, this was one of the looks that the seamstress screwed her over on. So this was a look that she pulled from her closet. So like maybe she Googled and
my God, I wish I had this kind of stuff in my closet.
That's what I told her in this interview. I was like,
I was
Maya,
thinking, oh, this must be one of the looks she finally had come through for her.
No, she said that she just had it in her closet. So I'm like,
because I thought she looked great. Great.
I think she looked great too. I think she looked beautiful. The only thing that I would have changed on it is like we see in the RuPaul 1980s AI image, is if she had some sort of belt in the middle to break up the top and the bottom, because it does look a little bit bunched near her crotch area. So I think that maybe if there was like a belt, or maybe like a bejeweled kind of thing that was riding lower on her hips, that would have given it a little bit more of a like a definition versus it just being like straight up and down a green, you know, suit. But I think she looked lovely. I think that Maya is, you know, Maya's shortcomings on the runway, which obviously the doll design challenge, and maybe a,
not
one
you
or two
her
other
short
looks.
Too.
Well, oh God.
diminutive Cummings.
I think that a lot of people seem to discredit her in so many ways. And I think on the runway too, she has had some really beautiful runway looks. I mean, her entrance look too, her workroom entrance, her, the red roses look, the like Maya has looked beautiful on this runway many, many times. And for some reason, people keep picking out the ones where she like spectacularly flopped. And there's like somehow this notion that Maya cannot walk the runway in clothes that look good, but like she's done more good looks than she has bad.
Oh yeah, for sure.
It's really weird. It's really, really weird. So we ultimately we get Safira is declared the winner, and Nymphia is a top, while Plain and a very gagged Q are declared safe, which I was gagged too because like I mean, as much as I love Safira, it was weird. Like if you're subscribing to the narrative that this show is selling to you, it was so weird that they didn't give Plain or Q like really any negative critiques. And then they called out Safira for slipping up and then they gave her the win. I was like,
yeah,
what?
That's what was weird to me, because of the fact that they highlighted Safira's slip up so much ahead of the commercial break that they like show a shot of it. And I'm like, oh, okay. Is this going to be like an edit thing where actually it's not like actually their Dawn's reacting to someone else, even though she says Safira's mess is flubbing. And then they shows it and it's like, yeah, she is flubbing, and they kind of make a big deal out of it. And so, you know, knowing she's the winner, it was like, why did they make such a point for us to see as viewers that Safira is flubbing something, and then give her the win, and then have two people that you praised, and even when either Plain or Q lightly fumbled over a word, because everyone suffered this cue card itis on this episode, they did not make any kind of thing of like, oh, Plain, like she's in the bottom again, like she's like flopping, because it was like a minor thing. So they could have brushed off Safira's in the same way. I guess maybe they were trying to show that Safira is such a pro that even though she had this stumble,
I think
she really moved past it, unlike maybe a Morphine who called attention to it. But it played oddly to me.
Listen, I'm never going to like Safira hoarding all of the wins. I am fine with that, because I mean, Safira is just such a treasure to this competition, but it did seem awkward with the structure of what the show was trying to tell us and what it usually tries to tell us narratively about these challenges and the things that we can kind of pick up on the judges' feedback. It felt off with what the show's editing was to have Safira as the winner. I'm not saying Safira did a bad job. I've laughed really hard.
No,
at her.
Not
I
at all.
She did a really good job.
But yeah. In the back of my mind, I'm always worried about what the fans, capital F, are going to, what their feedback is going to be. Yeah. So I'm always like, oh, are they going to say this is undeserved for Safira? And like you robbed Planer Q because of us seeing this stumble, where, you know, I think everybody equally kind of had the same kind of stumbles. And yeah, I don't have any issue with her winning. And I'm also not one of these people that's so hung up on the wins, other than saying I agree or not agree. I'm not like counting everyone's track record the way that some people do. But it was also another weirdness in the judging to me, was they were giving Plain so much positive feedback on these jokes that I agreed of the showing the slides and showing the historic clips and making the visual puns in their presentation and saying like, oh my God, that was so funny. Who thought of that? Thinking she was going to say her. And she was like, oh, that was actually all Q. And then they moved straight over to Q to give her feedback. And they were like, oh yeah, you were pretty funny. And then said something that like Michelle said something that sounded so, I can't remember if I wrote it down, but it was like, oh, like you struggled a little bit, but I love this look. And I was like, you just were going on and on about how much you love the presentation of the exact thing that was Q's idea.
It was Q's idea.
And then when you're talking to Q, you're like, oh, you know, it was fine, but this look is better. I was just like, that was just a little bit.
It was odd.
Don't like those kind of things.
But I thought Q's runway was great, especially, yeah, you know, given the narrative that she had earlier with coming out as HIV positive. Yeah. And then I also loved Dawn doing what I interpreted to be an ode to RuPaul's Faceskini look from the season 12 digital finale. Or was it the reunion? It was one of those two. But then
the reunion, yeah.
The thing that I didn't get was also this moment that we got, like, it was before the commercial tease where Ru was like, oh, this is going to go down as one of the stupidest looks to ever be on this show. And I was like, oh, she's saying that about Dawn, because it was like a mix of so many different things. But she ended up saying it
every queen that came out. I was like, is this going to be the stupid one? And then I saw him and I was like, no, is this it? Is this it? And then I'm like, oh, oh, good, it's Nymphia, because I think she was last. I'm like, okay, what crazy shit is Nymphia about to do? She walks out looking spectacular. And I was like, well, I wouldn't call that stupid. And then when Ru finally revealed it, I was like, what?
Yeah. I was like, yeah, this, what do you mean it's going to be the stupidest look ever? I was like, this is just, this, it was a very odd bit of feedback, but oh well. So the lip sync, as you predicted last week, Jillian, came down to Maya Morphine, Miami Showdown, with Maya doing something that I thought was absolutely iconic. But Jillian, you have other thoughts. This is Sammy, cue it up. This is this week's poll question. Oh, absolutely. It is this week's poll question. When Maya undid her train on her dress and draped it over Morphine, I screamed because she did it while Morphine was doing a backbend on the floor. Jillian, I was raving about this to you and saying that the Maya went out with the most iconic bang ever. And you were like, you actually thought that Maya could have killed her. You thought that this was deadly.
I also screamed because I thought we're going to have a drag queen roadkill.
And then I famously sent you the image of Michelle Visage saying it's a piece of fabric, like, Jillian.
No, because I said
this was a weighted blanket.
I said you can't throw a heavy cloth over.
Yeah, and I was like, it's a piece of fabric.
No, I challenge you, like I did with the armpit, to do a back bend and then have somebody throw a sleeping bag over you unexpectedly and see how you take it.
Jillian, I am famously not a three-year-old toddler with no coordination or motor skills.
No, I mean, we've seen this before. Like, I mean, I don't know. Like, it was fun, but I loved it also, but I loved it because Morphine saved it, grabbed it, and tossed it off so effortlessly that it was like how we saw with Kylie almost falling and Anitra jumping over, like those kind of moments is what it turned into. But it could have been Morphine completely dropped down. Like, I do not think she actually would have died, but she could have really, Morphine could have just totally flopped right then.
Well, this is, Maya specifically said in our interview coming up, amid other funny observations about this moment, she said she specifically did it to throw her off her game. She was totally unapologetic about it, and I loved it.
I don't think that's something you should do then, because I think drag is not a contact sport, and fabric is making contact.
Yes, but
I'm not going to say Maya should be disqualified, but I don't know. I don't like that element of it.
There's a difference. I think I can kind of almost see what you're saying because it was done during a backbend. I can almost see what you're saying about it being somewhat like, oh, maybe she shouldn't have done that. If she had done this while Morphine was like standing right next to her and they were both standing up and Maya just did it like as a joke and threw it on her, would you feel different?
Yeah. If she was just standing there and put it, like waved it in front of her to be like, now you see her, now you don't, that would have been funny. And I think if she had even said, hey girl, can I throw a blanket on top while you're back bending? And Morphine's like, okay, I'll be ready. But if none of that was discussed, it was funny, and suddenly you think you're in the middle of doing something, especially something physically,
Jillian,
Maya knows that if to Maya, a back bend doing anything physical is nothing. To some people, might be a little more, you need to pay more attention to your body.
It's a competition. And it was strategy.
Okay,
and
then people should just be like,
it was funny.
Tossing all kinds of shit on top of each other.
All of this to say, our poll question this week.
Yes.
Was Maya's, Sammy, you better be dictating this.
Please keep that part
in too. I mean, transcribing this, not dictating. I mean, transcribing as I dictate. Transcribing as I dictate. With pen and paper, not typing.
Okay, say
can
it.
Can Wait, I have to get my thoughts ready. Was Maya Iman LePage throwing the train on morphine a deadly act? Yes or no? That's our poll question.
And if that's too long, did Maya almost kill morphine with the blanket move?
Yeah, that one.
Okay. Also, I just had to point out that this song for the 80s theme night, and like we've had so many runways and lip syncs match up recently that everyone's been pretty excited about. So for the 80s theme, you're like, you got Madonna, you got Cyndi Lauper, you got early Whitney Houston. Well, no, you have a song from 1979.
Who was it again? What was the song again?
It was Donna Summer. I already forgot the name of the song, but it was not not a classic 80s song, I'll tell you that. It was a disco song, which, you know, there was still some disco in the 80s, but not quite the song that I would have chosen for drag con.
Was it? Maybe. Wait, okay. So her 1979 song, Bad Girls, Dim All the Lights, No More Tears.
Dim All the Lights. Dim All the Lights.
It was Dim All the Lights.
Oh,
okay,
Dim All the Lights. Okay, actually now Maya was right on theme. She dimmed the lights for morphine by throwing this heavy blanket over her, cloaking her eyesight. Well, she dimmed the lights. So,
Jillian and Closet, planned. I would like to introduce some of, I know your very favorite topic of mine is chart news.
We don't have time to get into that.
Oh, we do. So this song, while released in 1979, did not enjoy its peak commercial success until the year 1980, did not finish the year-end charts of the Billboard top 100 songs of the year, but in 1980, it did finish the year-end performance on the Billboard Hot 100 as the number 74 most successful song of 1980.
Oh, wow. 1974 or number 74 in 1980. So we were really jamming out to that in 1986, 87 for sure. Okay. So let's discuss, because there's something really important that I need to get to. But first, I want to give us a moment to discuss Maya's legacy on the show. She was obviously someone that this podcast, we got so much enjoyment out of.
Yes.
But even some other Drag Race podcasts that I listen to, she's been very divisive. She's a favorite of the cringe subreddit, but in a very lovingly way, not like, it does not seem like it's like we're laughing at her. It's like she doesn't even know how funny she's coming across. And now we've seen that with some of their queens in the past. And I think that's the same way that we're taking her. But I'm wondering how you feel about how she is going to, what we think about her after the show. Because Alyssa Edwards, like even on this show, discussed how she didn't even know quite how funny she was during the show. And I think really had a moment of embracing her personality after the show.
Yes.
And leaning into it. We've also seen queens like Tamisha Iman, who was, we also, Maya's I think, thought was so, her grandmother, and we thought was so funny on the show and really like was, didn't even understand how funny she was coming across. Yeah. And sort of struggled to dealing with the fan interactions afterwards. And I think letting it get to her and, you know, all the drama that we saw. And so, I don't know, do you have any predictions or hopes or dreams for what we see from Maya after this?
I think the difference between someone like Alyssa and Maya is that Alyssa is very much knows she's a celebrity. She knows she's famous. She knows this fandom. She leans into it. Whereas Maya, I think, is never going to be a person that is going to try to alter anything she does to either try to be funny, try to be what fans want her to be, or try to be what the show wants her to be and this franchise wants her to be. She is completely immune to that. I don't think we're ever going to see an era where Maya changes being exactly how she is. She knows who she is. She is how she is. And she has not changed throughout this entire process. Like, we can now see, Jillian, if we go back to the first interview that we did, I always reference it. And you and I, like, both came out of this interview, like, I was so impressed with her, like, doing the research. But, like, she was very timid in this interview.
Yes.
And then watching it back, like, you pick up on, like, these little things that she's saying that are just so funny. But that's exactly how she was on the show. They picked up on it too. This is exactly how she's been in interviews since the show. If the act of getting hatred undeservingly from the RuPaul's Drag Race capital F fans cannot change Maya Iman LePage, nothing will. Because so many times we see these queens change literally before our eyes from when the cast is announced to the end of the season and the downhill struggle that a lot of them go through with this fandom. Maya is not. Maya said literally investigate these nuts to the fans, literally on Twitter. So she's not going to change. And I hope she never changes because she is such a treasure for this franchise. And, you know, one of my, I think, favorite queens of all time on this show, truly.
Yeah. At this point, she definitely queen of the season for both of us in this podcast. Now, yes. I do want to quickly discuss a couple of things in Untucked, like Morphine leaving a butt print on the couch from the foundation on her exposed buns, which was so funny. And then Saphira calling out Nymphia for playing these mind games. Nymphia does admit that Saphira wrote nearly all of her lines for this presentation. So I like that Nymphia is always giving credit to Saphira or Megami, but then it's just always like, okay, fans, like you can see Saphira's helping other people and other people are getting help. Then there is this kind of strange moment when Q's husband is sending a video message and Nymphia starts bawling so harder than Q the entire time that Plain is actually once again the one to comfort her, which I thought was interesting. I mean, I don't know. Nymphia was just very moved at that moment. But finally, there's something else I really need to discuss. Joe,
yes, what?
Did you see the mysterious bottle of poppers sitting on the table in Untucked? Now, I know that sounds like a Lana Del Rey song, but that's my real observation.
Lana.
There is a stray, there is a stray bottle of poppers. And so I did not notice it until the end when they're getting ready to lip sync. There's like this little bottle. So there's like a pine cone from the Rusicle is there. And do you see this? I put an image. There's this little jar.
Oh my God.
Like, what the hell? And then I rewound. I'm like, has that been there the entire time? And that's one of the things that we never saw. I go back to the very beginning and it's not there when the queens walk in. So I was like, this is so strange. This bottle appeared.
Did Joel Kim Booster I thought bring that Joel, in
that,
poppers?
That was my prime suspect after all his talk of threesomes, just like casually walk in with a bottle of poppers. But then I went through and I investigated a little bit more.
How do you know it's poppers?
I'm hoping, well, I mean, does this not look like poppers to you?
I have, well.
Well, let's not get into that.
Yeah, wait. I was about to say.
Allegedly, let's add a lot of allegedlies here.
What if it's one of those little like honey Dijon mustards?
Okay, like you know Dijon what? For the purposes of this, things. Yes. And I'm just calling it poppers as a code word for, I just call all little jars poppers. So I don't even know any other term that wait, poppers could
Google
refer to.
Poppers
I only call those jars. I have a slowed down video that I'd like you to watch.
Okay.
And you're going to have to, you know, say it out loud for our viewers of what you are.
What's happening?
Watching. Yes.
Okay.
This is the opening of Drag Race.
Okay.
Slowed.
Okay, I don't see it on the table. I see the pine cone. I see Dawn, Saphira walking in. I see Dawn going over to the bubbly. I see. Plain Jane puts a bottle of poppers on the table.
Allegedly.
Oh my
God. She puts a little vial. We don't know what's in it.
We don't know what's in it.
And it remains there for the rest of Untucked.
Oh my God. Jillian, are you going to, you need to publicize this on Friday because if you don't, I am going to, and we need to get a response out of Plain for this.
Yeah, we definitely need to get a response. But yeah, I just thought that was a little bit funny, but I don't think I want to publicly allege anyone of of cleaning VCRs in any way.
No, I don't mean publicly allege it. I mean, like, that is a moment that is, you need to, like, put on social media and, like, tag Plain and be like, what were you doing here?
All right. Well, listeners, you can go check on social media if I did that when you're hearing this. And maybe I did, maybe I didn't. You'll never know.
All right, Jillian, let's get to it. The moment we've been dreading. / really excited about our exit interview with our beloved Maya Iman LePage coming up. Welcome back to EW's Quick Drag Podcast. And if you can't already tell, my emotions are exercising in overtime, not unlike the old ladies on TV. I'm trying to process the elimination of my next guest, who is one of the most entertaining queens Drag Race has seen. I am just so thrilled every time to talk to her, but I'm also sad to have her as a guest today because that means she's no longer on Drag Race season 16. But I have faith that this great queen will flip her way back to All Stars in no time. Please welcome Maya Iman LePage. Maya, how are you?
I'm doing great.
I was hoping you were going to say great. I was trying to set you up for that. How are you doing? How are you feeling?
I'm good. I'm having like mixed emotions on it because I just felt like I could have pushed myself harder and I kind of just gave up at the end. But other than that, I'm doing good. I'm happy with how everything has played out and turned out for me.
Yeah, I think you have so much to be proud of on this season, and I do want to talk to you about this week's challenge. But before we get to this week, I do also want to go back and talk a little bit about your lip sync 2 weeks ago. I mean, you did get a significant amount of backlash after you eliminated Plasma, but you seem to be taking that response on social media in stride, and you had some really funny clapbacks, especially with your little middle finger photo. But so how are you handling all of that? Like, I'm just wondering how you're processing all of that feedback.
It honestly, I just look at it as people just having their opinion, and you know, after like seeing what the girls was going through, I kind of had already prepared myself for the back, like if I was to get backlash, and like I was just having fun with it. I knew that they were trolling me, so I was trolling them back and just having fun with it.
Yeah, it was definitely fun. What did you say about, there was one you were like, somebody said something to you and you were like, no, how about you read these nuts or something?
Oh, investigate these nuts.
Yeah. Maya, you crack me up so much. I mean, from episode one, you truly, like, I lived every single moment for you on the show. So I'm so sad to see you go. But do you have maybe like a message for those fans who try to do that to the queens? Because we see regularly every season, these fans try, it's almost like they pick one or two and they try to take them down throughout the whole season. So what message do you have for people that are doing that to you this season?
I think they should stop doing that to not even just me, but like all the queens, because you never know what anyone is going through. Like I you know, did the interview with Roscoe's and, you know, kind of like told my story and what was going on, and people started to see. And then, you know, some people end up writing me, so I feel bad and it's not your fault. Keep your head up and stuff. Sorry that you went through that. This explains why you were quiet or shy, timid during the first couple of episodes. So it's just like, you know, it's the show and someone got to go home. Someone has to win, and just be kind to each other.
Yeah.
That's what we need in this world.
I agree. And if you don't mind, just for our listeners who maybe didn't catch the Roscoe's interview, could you maybe summarize what you mean and the story that you're referencing?
So there's two stories. One of the stories was the week of me leaving to go to Drag Race. I ended up leaving the club and I went to my mother's house. I got the car to get my overnight bag and got back in the car to put on my slides because I had to walk a little walk to get to her building. And so something just told me to look up as I was like almost getting ready to get out of the car, and I see this guy walking off the one way. And so I'm thinking nothing of it. I'm thinking he's just going to keep walking. And I'm following him with my eyes in the mirror as he walks. And then I look to the side mirror and I see that he was running towards my car with it like reaching in his pants. And so I just drove off. Luckily, I keep my car on until I'm ready to get out the car or whatever. And I drove off. So that whole day, and kind of that, well, that whole day, I cried. And everyone know that I'm not a crier. So I cried that whole day. And then, like, being at Drag Race, I had to deal with that too, because it was still bothering me. Like, was this man going to try to rob me or kill me?
Yeah.
And then this situation with the seamstress, he had five of my runway looks. And those were like the main looks that I really wanted to have to present on the show and show everyone. And the day of me leaving, actually all my seamstress, I got two of the seamstress gave me back some of my runway looks, literally like 3, 4 a.m. in the morning. And I had to be up at 6 a.m. to go to the airport. And I was calling the seamstress that had the five look. His name is Valentino Lang from Miami. Mm-hmm. And I was blowing him up and he wasn't responding. It was just nothing. So I kind of just laid down and said, I'm not going to go to Drag Race no more. I'm just going to sit out this one. But then something
clicked. You almost actually didn't go. You actually almost didn't. You actually almost quit.
Yeah. I was laying down like 4 a.m., 5 a.m. around that time. I was just laying down. I'm like, I'm not going to go. I don't have no looks. What I'm going to do about these runways? And so I end up just throwing things in my bag where something clicked and said, hey, God put you in this position for a reason. Get up and just throw things in your bag. So basically what I did was just use old things out of my closet for some runways. And so that was bothering me the whole time while I was there. Like, I literally could not get over not having those looks.
Yeah. Well, Maya, I think what you presented was still, I mean, you had some really beautiful looks on this season. So it just speaks to what you had in your closet and the drag that you're already doing outside the show. And it speaks to the point that I think I like to try to make a lot is that what you see on the show does not represent the full breadth of what an artist is just because they appear on Drag Race. I mean, you have accomplished so much just in terms of your performances and your looks outside of the show that, you know, the show is important, but what you do outside the show is also extremely important. And I hope that people go to your pages and they go to your shows and they see all of the things that you have done outside the show as well, because I remember doing the research on you when we did our first interview and I was just blown away by the things that I saw. So, I mean, you have so much to be proud of on and off this show. And I just commend you for that, because you did have to overcome a lot going, you know, heading into this. So there's a reason for everything. And like I said, you still pulled some really great stuff off. Like, I mean, that rose petal reveal and that lip sync 2 weeks ago, that was just, I loved that. Like, did you intend that to be a tribute to Sasha Velour, or was that, or were you even thinking of Sasha in that moment?
I was just trying to find something that would make me stand out even more. Because I seen that she wasn't going to do any gimmicks or any tricks. And so I'm like, what is there to do? And I seen the flowers on the counter. So I just kind of snuck them in my hands. And on the way to the stage, I just like threw them in my head. Uh-huh. So that's why people was like, oh my gosh, she did this. And didn't have a wig reveal under. I didn't have time to get to put a wig under. So I just kind of went with the flow.
Whose were they? Whose petals were they?
That was from the challenge.
Oh, they provided those.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Got it. Because there was also some debate over what you were actually wearing under your wig that day. Like, I think, was it plain in the confessional that said that you revealed down to a beanie? But then I think Sibling Rivalry and Race Chaser also had some debate over what they thought it was. What actually was it?
That was actually a snatch. What I used to hold my wigs down to pin them. Okay. That was supposed to actually come off as well, but because I had my hair braided.
Yeah.
So it didn't come off.
But it didn't come off. Well, it gave us a good moment, as usual, as you usually do on this show. It gave us a moment. So, I mean, speaking of your moments, Maya, on this episode, it was your fourth lip sync, which, I mean, unfortunately, you know, you're in the bottom, but I'm never going to complain about seeing a Maya lip sync. And it was so entertaining. Once again, you went out in really explosive fashion by like throwing the train of your dress over Morphe while she did a backbend. So like, what was the reaction like from Morphe to that moment? The first time you were able to talk about it after the season wrapped,
you like said, "Girl, you gagged me. I wanted to kick your ass." I said, "Sister, I had to, you know, start it off like." I already knew that we were going to have, it was going to be a good lip sync and we were going to actually battle. So I said, I just had to be you kind of like, just set it up for me. You sitting down on the floor like, you know, lower. So I'm twirling around with the cape and just happened to throw it on her.
So
And I kind of I did that also to throw off her game.
Yeah. I like that. Like, I think that it's strategy. It was a good moment. It was, I mean, the judges clearly seemed gooped by it. But like Morphine, she did seem a little upset in the moment. Like, she started then throwing her breasts at you, and then you threw your gloves back at her. So like, did you anticipate it getting that heated in the moment, or was that maybe your goal? Like, did you want it to get that heated?
No, I didn't think it was gonna get like that. I mean, we kind of like had our little build up. So it was like, I guess once the lip sync happened, it was like claws out, let's fight.
Yeah. But you don't regret doing that?
No.
Okay, good. but it did just come to you in the moment. Like, you didn't tell her you were going to do it. You just thought of it in the moment while you were on stage?
Yeah, I just thought of it.
I love how your brain works, man. Well, you did also flip in this lip sync, but I mean, not as much as in the past. And there seems to be this growing sentiment among the queens of sort of like downplaying your flipping, or saying that like, it's not as impressive to them anymore because you did it a lot. But that just, it strikes me as a little bit wild, because I'm like, okay, this is a really impressive skill and not everybody can do this. So did you maybe feel at some point discredited for your talent, or that you weren't taken seriously for this amazing skill just because you did it a lot?
No, I honestly did try to avoid from flipping so much, because I didn't want people to think or say that's all I can give is backflips. But I've done more than backflips. Like, even for flowers, I didn't flip not one time.
Right. Yeah, you still proved that, like, you are just a talented performer in general. It's not flips that make a good performer. Like, there's a lot of people that can flip, but like, you are a performer. And you also, you committed the cardinal sin of taking your shoes off in that lip sync. So I'm wondering, like, did you do that on purpose to show like, oh, I can take my shoes off and still get Rue to save me?
Honestly, at that point, I wasn't even thinking. Like, I was into the music. Like, the music had took over me. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to perform.
Yeah. And you gave us a show. You really did. I also want to clarify something on your Cher look, because on the show, it said that it was Cher at the burlesque premiere, but it looked like her Turn Back Time music video. So which one, can you clarify which one it actually was?
That is actually one of the runways that the seamstress had that I never received.
Oh, no. So
I'm like, okay, Cher is known for her cat suits and jackets. And so I just threw it in there and said, okay.
Yeah.
For that runway, I was expecting to lip sync, but it didn't happen.
Yeah. So that's okay. So that's where the designer got you there, was with one of those looks. What were the other ones that you had to improvise with?
Okay. So it was flowers. It was True Colors. It was the Mother Ball. What else? Drag's Excellence and DragCon 1980s.
Well, I mean, you still look stunning on the runway. So, I mean, you know, maybe you should improvise more. You still look great. I also, another point of fan admiration for you this season was your braces, actually. I mean, it's so I want to ask you about that, if you're comfortable talking about that. If not, totally fine. But I think a lot of people might be like, what can you share about that journey with your braces? Because they did get a lot of attention this season, including from your sisters in the workroom.
Yeah, I was surprised by that. And I didn't know that I'm like the first girl to be on Drag Race with like braces in their mouth.
Yeah.
Honestly, I had got my braces. I didn't need to get braces, but I got my braces because I wanted to walk drag space in the ballroom scene. And to walk that category, your teeth have to be like perfectly straight. And my teeth were straight, but they wasn't perfect. And I got them to do that category, and I haven't even walked the ball since I like got braces or just been at a ball at all. So it's kind of like I just got them for nothing. But I'm happy that I did get them, because I've had so many people to like to DM me and say how happy they are to see someone, you know, my age with braces, and that I embraced it and everything. So it's good. I feel like it's a good thing that I was able to show that.
Yeah. So when are they coming off?
Hopefully my next visit or the visit after that, I'm actually like really, really close. Because we were waiting for one gap to close from when it, because they actually had to pull four of my teeth, and I was so mad because they had to do that.
Oh my God.
Because when I first got the braces kind of pushed my teeth out. And so for them to bring my teeth back in, they had to put four teeth, one on each side, top and bottom, and connect the front to the back so they can pull it back in. And so I think I have like 1 or 2 more months, and that'll be
okay. Well, we're counting down. We are counting down. Although I do love them. I have to say, Maya, it is, I do love them on you. So like, we'll be sad to see those go too.
Yeah, I was happy. I mean, I like them, but I am ready for them to get off because sometimes like the wire would just like cut my mouth up and oh, it's horrible.
Yeah, I remember when I had braces. I remember I had them, I think my last year of high school, and they were like, yeah, they like cut the fuck out of my mouth, and it was really awful. But you know, just another thing to add to the Maya legacy on the show. Which I think your other sisters tried to add another narrative this season when, or this episode, when you were all doing the mini challenge with holding the paddles up with your faces on them. Morphine tried to say that you were the gassiest. Do you have any idea why she would say that? Is there a story here that is not told?
Because sometimes I will... Oh my gosh, I gotta say it.
Say it, Maya, because, say it.
Sometimes I will like walk or run by her and fart and walk and run off. Kind of like when I pulled her hair and like just kept walking, that's what I would do like with a fart moment.
On set?
Yes.
Maya, you know that's a headline quote right there. That's so funny.
Doing the craziest thing. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, okay. Thank you for revealing that. That is, I am getting a lot of pleasure imagining you doing like a run by farting of Morphine Love Dion on the set of Drag Race. So sorry to Morphine that you had to experience that, but thank you to Maya for doing it. So the last thing I want to ask you about is in this challenge itself, it, like you said, it, you know, there was a lot on your mind. It did look like you struggled, but it also looked like in the moment you were like, looking off stage a lot, like to the left. I was noticing a lot of the queens were doing this during the challenge. You all seem to be looking to the left. So can you explain maybe your headspace on stage and maybe why you were looking off stage during the challenge so much?
Well, for this challenge, I shouldn't have not went in with the mindset of going to fail. Because I've always had a like a fear of like speaking in front of people. And that was one of the reason I would sometimes lose pageants because of me standing in front doing question and answer and getting it in my head and
yeah,
just going crazy. And so for this challenge, I was trying not to look at the cards as much because, you know, they didn't want us to like really look at the cards that much. So, but they did say it was fine to look at the cards.
Like the cards in your hand?
Yes, the cards in my hands.
All right. Okay.
And then I think looking off stage, I was kind of like looking at the judges' faces.
Yeah.
Like what they was thinking. And it was just a disaster. I even told Don, like, if we get in the bottom because of me, I wouldn't... lip sync against her.
You mean you would have quit if you had been in the bottom with Dawn?
I told her if we have to lip sync that I knew I would have beat her and I would just say no, I'll go away. I'll Shantae away, and she stayed because I felt like she deserved it more, and I was the reason that we, you know, got in the bottom. I felt like we had too much to read instead of just like having fun with it. We kind of like went into like an actual college presentation.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a very sisterly thing for you to do, Maya. I mean, to tell your sister that, and it just, you know, speaks to your character, and it speaks to, I think, why so many people fell in love with you this season. And I can't thank you enough for sharing your talent with us and for just being such an entertaining presence on this show. So even though it's an elimination, you know, we're going to see many more great things from you coming down the line. I'm very confident about that.
Yes. Thank you. I wouldn't change anything about being on Drag Race. The only thing I would change is the designers. But other than that, I wouldn't change nothing. Like, I literally had fun from the first day I walked in a workroom. And sometimes it may not show on my face, but I was having fun the whole time. Like, I was happy that I was able to get to know these girls and become sisters. And I've gotten very close with so many of them. And I literally talk to them, like, almost every day.
Yeah.
So it was a good experience for me. I had fun.
Good. I am so glad. And I thank you so much for your time and for being so great this whole season. And to close this out, I'm just wondering, so we can use this forever on this podcast, could you please give me could you say EW's Quick Drag Podcast is great?
Okay. EW Podcast is great.
Maya, thank you so much. I really wish you the best after the show.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you again to Maya for that exit interview. If you enjoyed the great spilled... Well, wait, Jillian, was that a note?
No, that's how you had it, but I thought maybe you were making a reference, so I just left it for you.
Let me do that again. Leave it, but I'm just going to do it again for clarity. If you enjoyed the great tea spilled, rate and subscribe to us. Give us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast, because it helps us bring you even more exclusive chats with the cast, and also mail us poppers.
I don't think we can solicit that on a podcast. Tune in next week when we'll have an interview with season 16's next eliminated queen. Until then, have a poppers night.
Quick Drag is an Entertainment Weekly podcast hosted and produced by Joey Nolfi and Jillian Cederholm, produced and edited by Sammy Junio. Thanks for listening.
This weather. Cloudy weather. Ooh!
Okay. I need 30 seconds to go wash my hand. Hold on. All
right. This was a mistake. Okay, I'm going to practice it. I'm cupping. I'm also wearing a... Well, okay. Here's the sound. Nothing. I don't understand what would even be making the noise. Oh my God. Like, where would the air be coming from? It's just skin on skin.
Oh my God.
And I'm smelling my hands. I'm not wearing deodorant, but I smell just fine.